This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, JK.
Hey, Sean.
Hey. So today's a, this is
it's a roller coaster.
It's a roller coaster today.
Heavy story, a lot of side chit chat.
A lot of nonsense.
I think there were some good stories told, though.
Thank you.
Whether they were about... Well, I told some, too.
Oh. You did?
Wow.
I don't even remember. I don't remember any stories you told.
Oh, my God.
I was so impressed with my... so impressed with my story.
What? You had more than one. You wouldn't stop talking.
I have stories.
Well, yeah. Just tune into this episode and you'll hear. The onslaught of meow, 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 meow.
No, these are interesting stories.
To you. I told some of mine, and apparently you have no recollection of them.
I remember one that you told.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So we've got things to say in this episode.
Yes.
All right, let's just get right to it. Okay. Ladies and jerks, welcome to Navalny.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Cheryl?
Tig, how are you?
How are you? I just dropped a potential bomb of excitement
your
lap that we can't specifically talk about
no.
on this show.
It's got to be...
code. We have to use code in discussing.
Somebody might be doing...
Yeah, somebody might be doing... And it... could be life-changing, or somebody could decide not to do. Yeah, and then life will still be as it is. And...
life will still go on. But if that somebody decides, because they got tapped, to do, then it would be a fun and ridiculous. It has something to do with show business.
And it would be monumentally life-changing. Monumentally to the point like when I told Cheryl before we started recording, her face lit up. She was so excited about this potential thing of Fafa happening, and we've been talking about it for 30 minutes before we started. So that's just to tease and annoy our listeners.
Yeah But I mean, I can say this, that it's reminding me of when Dancing with the Stars asked me if I was interested in doing a season. And I was, but I couldn't, and it wasn't the right time. There were reasons why I didn't.
You feel like this is the same?
No, it's not the same. But it is it's an offer.
Because it does feel very different. It feels very different.
It is very different. But I'm just saying, it's like an offer out of the blue for something that's not usually a phone call that you get during the day.
No.
Anyway, we're talking in code, and it's not nice to the listeners.
But it's fun, though. It's so fun.
Well, one day we'll be able to tell you what the...
Yeah, maybe next week we'll have more of an update of whether FAFA's going to happen or not.
Yes.
You know, we can't say what FAFA is.
Yes.
But we might say it's heading in that direction where everything's about to change monumentally.
Okay.
All right. And how are you, Cheryl?
I am good. I mean, it really was just an adrenaline hit for me. And it has nothing to do with me, although I want to get involved.
I know. I know. You've already offered ways to get involved.
Yes, and I will be involved. If this happens, I will be showing up like, hey, guys. Okay, listen. All right. We need to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
Listen, let's just get right into our documentary today. Which, by the way, this was, I didn't know. Did you know anything about this? Broad strokes.
Broad strokes from when I was following the news. But I didn't know.
Yeah. So today we're talking about Navalny. It's a 2022 documentary film directed by 29-year-old Canadian filmmaker Daniel Roher. R-O-H-E-R. How do you say it?
I don't.
Oh. It tells the story of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who campaigned against Vladimir Putin and became an apparent target for retaliation by the Kremlin. Navalny, the documentary premiered at Sundance, where it won the Festival Favorite Award and the Audience Award. The film is available to watch on HBO Max.
First, I have to say the Kremlin sounds too much like gremlins. I picture furry animals. It feels like a cartoon.
That's just what you think of every time.
Kremlin.
It
sounds like a normal word to you that you don't think
well, of? Well, I've been to Moscow.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. You're making me do it, but it doesn't feel like Gremlin to me. And by the way, I never watched, what was that, Star Trek? Wait, is Gremlin? No, that's not.
Gremlin is from Gremlins. Thank you, but it's not on Star Trek.
Wait, what was Star Trek with the furry little things?
You're thinking of Star Wars. You're thinking...
No,
right?
But wasn't there a Star Trek where they had...
You're thinking of Ewoks?
No, they had like little furry things that took over. Tribbles.
Oh,
Tribbles?
See?
Tribbles. Tribbles.
Snorkbles.
What if you're watching Star Trek and all of a sudden... Snorkbulls started appearing and they were like, oh my god, the snorkbulls are taking over.
Well, Thomas just sent us a link to Trouble with Tribbles. Okay,
listen, we're off to a great start because we're talking about something so serious and now okay, I do have a few stories that I do need to get off my chest, sort of relating to this.
Okay,
but I'll tell people what we're talking about first to get us on a track.
Yeah, we need to be on a track in order to get off of it.
So yeah. Alexei Navalny, this whole documentary is about him. He was, well, I mean, I'm not going to, this isn't spilling the beans because the whole thing is about this.
Yeah.
He was poisoned.
Yeah.
By... Well, am I spilling? No, of course, it's the story. He was poisoned by Putin and nearly died. And the intention definitely was to kill him. So he survived it. And this movie, he's being interviewed. Navalny is being interviewed. And he talks about the whole experience and he sort of walks you through it. And you see footage of him giving speeches against Putin because he wanted to rally people to rise up against Putin. Okay, so that's where we are. This is how it all began.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that's very serious. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's not as serious. When I thought I was poisoned on a plane. Because I started to mention it before, and then our listeners on social media, you know, attacked you, Tig, and said, wow, Tig never let Cheryl tell the story.
They attacked me?
Kind of. Well,
wow.
I mean, I don't know if attack is a word.
I mean,
when they're like,
especially with the subject matter we're discussing about attacks, it
seems strong.
But yeah. Also, I was under the impression the Snurkbulls loved me, but they do. I guess they can be frustrated with.
I mean, when I say attack, I mean they were like.
Well, here I am interrupting and not letting you tell the story again.
They were like, Cheryl. They were like, Cheryl, what happened?
Tell us. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Let me start by saying I'm in the middle of reading a book called The Gift of Fear.
Wait, you are right now?
Yeah, by Gavin DeBecker, which is really good.
I've read it.
Oh, right?
Haven't we talked about it?
It doesn't matter. So in this book, The Gift of Fear, which is great, Gavin DeBecker, author, really talks you through like how people try to manipulate other people and will, you know, if you're feeling something, if you feel like off about somebody, there's a reason and you should pay attention to it and you should not engage or leave or whatever. So anyway, I got on a plane once and I was sitting down and this guy that I don't know says, hey, Cheryl. I said, oh, hi. And I sit down and he's like, oh, we know so-and-so, like common person, whatever. I said, okay, great. Hi. And then the person sitting next to me says to the guy, do you want to change seats so you can sit next to her? And I was like, oh my God, I don't even know this guy.
Right.
I was like,
Fun for him, awkward for you.
Yeah. So he was like, that would be great. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, oh my God, this is like a 3-hour flight of this guy that I don't know. Okay, that's fine. So he sits next to me and he's talking the whole time, but talking too, he's being really too intimate. Like, what's your most awkward moment in life? What was the best moment in your life? Like these deep questions that were too much. You know, I'm just like, I just want to read the safety pamphlet and like mind my business. And so he's asking.
Wait, the if the plane crashes?
Yeah. I like to, you know, glance at it.
You like to refresh?
I like to know where the inflatable thing is in case.
Nerd alert.
And so this guy, as the flight goes on, it's getting more and more uncomfortable where I'm like, this guy is getting too involved. And why do I keep answering his questions? Like Gavin DeBecker, I should have just said.
You were scared to offend him. And that's what Gavin talks about. Yes. Is that when you're scared to offend strangers that make you uncomfortable is when you oftentimes walk into danger.
Right. You don't need to engage with anybody. You don't need to answer questions. Mm-hmm. You don't need to feel obligated to make somebody else feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and I was really thirsty and I could not get water on that plane for whatever reason. I kept trying to flag down the lady and I was really, really thirsty. I kept talking about how thirsty I was. And then the guy says to me, you know, like looks me in the eye and says, when do you think you're going to die? I was like, when do I think I'm going to die? I haven't really thought about it. He's like, well, think about it. Where do you want to die? And I'm like, oh, my God, this is a lot. It's a lot. You know.
When was this?
This was like, this was probably like 5 years ago.
Wow.
And at this point, I'm kind of freaked out because I'm like, this guy, something's happening. I get up. I go to the bathroom. I come back. And there's a cup of water. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I got you some water. And I was like, oh, my God. He got me water. Oh, my God. He got me water. Gosh. And I was thinking, don't drink the water.
Yeah.
I didn't see where the water came from.
Right.
But then this is a lesson that I'm telling people. I felt the need to drink the water because I thought that he did a nice thing.
You didn't want to hurt his feelings.
I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
You were willing to die for
yes! that. Yes! So I drank the water and I was like, I'm sure this is the moment when I die because this guy just asked me when I was going to die, when did I want to die, and then gave me poisonous water. So we landed shortly after. I call my husband, and I'm like, okay, I just want to let you know, I think I've been poisoned. And he's like, Cheryl, first of all, are you foaming at the mouth? And I was like, no. And he said, are you throwing up? I said, no. And he goes, I don't think you've been poisoned. I said, well, how do you know that? And he goes, because it happens right away. Mm-hmm. He goes, your body would have such a reaction to it.
Yeah.
And I said, well, this weird thing happened. He's like, that is a weird thing. Is the guy still following you? But anyway, that was my, I thought I was poisoned on a plane, but I really.
I'm glad you weren't.
Yeah, I wasn't. But this is a, it's a good lesson. Like, don't.
Well, can I tell you?
Yes.
I had, even though I wasn't almost poisoned, it was that listening to my gut.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I had to have a minor procedure done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was minor enough to where I could be put under or not. Mm-hmm. It's just depending on the level of pain that I could handle. And I had told the person on the phone before I went in, when I was asked what I wanted to do, I said, well, what do people normally do? And then she put me on hold. She came back and she said, I was told you should be put under. And I said, oh, okay. All right. So I show up to my appointment, and my doctor pokes his head in to the curtain, and he's like, hi, how's it going? You know, I'll see you in a little bit. Good to see you. That kind of very brief exchange.
Yeah.
Leaves. The nurse comes in, and she says, hi, are you going to be put under or not for this procedure? And I said, oh, I had told them I was. And she said, oh, okay. And I said, but... I mean, so there's just
yeah,
a
why
choice.
Is there confusion?
Like, yeah, it was starting to make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so I said, so, but I had already told them yes, and then now you're asking, so why? And she goes, well, I just wanted to confirm. And I said, she said, or you can talk to the doctor if you want to talk to the doctor. And I said, yeah, I think I'd probably just want to talk to the doctor about that specifically. And she said, okay. And then the anesthesia nurse came in and said, so are you going to be put under or not?
Oh my God.
And I said, oh, well, I had told the nurse. I said, I originally said yes. And then the nurse came in and asked, and I told her that now I was confused. I'd like to talk to the doctor. And he said, okay, well, he'll be in shortly. The nurse comes back in and says, have you decided if you're going to be put under or not?
Oh my God.
And I said, I was waiting on the doctor. And she said, well, he's going to be probably another 5 minutes. Do you want me to just text him what your question is? And I was like, no. I was like, I can wait the 5 minutes.
Right.
I just want to talk to him. The anesthesiologist nurse comes in again and asks if I've decided if I'm going to be put under or not. And I went, what is happening? I said, I'm waiting on the doctor. And he said, I'm sure I can answer any question you might have. And I said, maybe, but I'd like to just talk to my doctor.
Right.
I've been waiting. And then I got up and I said, you know what? I no longer feel comfortable. I'm not going to be put under, and I'll just go have the procedure done. And they were like, oh, I'm sorry. I was so done.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't trust the situation anymore. No longer have any trust in your abilities because the communication is off. So I'm going to go put myself under when there's a circus.
Did you say this?
No, I said to them that I have lost trust and I will not be put under with the communication like this.
Wow.
Yeah. I was so mad. I was so upset.
But see, also, I think like, I think it's harder when you're younger, when you're in your 20s.
Of course.
Or something. I wouldn't have done that
even 5 years ago.
Right. To find the words to stand up to, you know, medical team and say, no, you aren't doing your job
also,
right.
Also, you know what really sticks with me is when Joan Rivers died. And I remember them saying that it was a minor procedure. She was put under and never came out again.
Right. No, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And I just watched my stepfather die. Ugh. And so I'm very like, I want to make sure I'm safe. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And so I was like, I was so mad.
Heated.
And I, oh my God, I was like, get this. I mean, Get your unicycles away from me, clowns. I mean, truly. But it's that
scram clown.
Truly, scram clowns, but it's that feeling, that gut feeling yes. you have to listen to.
Yes, yes.
If I had gone and been put under and then something happened to me because the clownery that was going
right.
on.
Right, and because you no. didn't just, you know, trust your gut right. and just say, let's just stop. Yes. Stop everything.
Yeah.
So, yes, trust your gut is what
and
we're
and we have to take a break oh, now, for, and then oh we will God, talk get about back to... the documentary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back on Tig and Cheryl, okay. and we are going to actually talk about, the, about documentary. The documentary. But if this is your first time joining us, this is how the show goes. So we're glad you're here, but we want you to understand the company you're keeping right
yes,
now.
Yes, this is what mm-hmm. you've, this is, listen, and we've covered more real things
yeah.
in the last 10 minutes yeah. than usual.
Yeah,
Then in the last 5 episodes that we've done.
Also, this is a free podcast, so we're not taking too many complaints. Or comments.
Okay, so Navalny. Mm-hmm. Oh, I shouldn't do it with the Italian accent. That doesn't even make sense.
I didn't even notice. It was so bad. Your accent was so bad that I... Yeah.
And Navalny. And no, but didn't it make you want to speak
meatball.
Didn't it make you want to speak with a Russian accent when you were done watching?
I was doing it in my head while I was watching.
I wish you would do... Will you do some?
No.
Oh. If it comes out, let it come out. So, Alexei... Alex, is that how you say it?
No way to know. We just watched this movie and there is absolutely no way to know how to pronounce any name.
So he talks about the Russian government, which is trying to kill him and imprison him for his criticism of Putin and his attempt to run for office against Putin. I mean, it's unclear to me what the system is there. I mean, do they have an election every so often?
I don't know. Oh, Thomas is nodding yes. yes.
Thomas is yes.
Every so often is the...
We're just like, yeah, let's do one. Okay, so Tig, so here's mm-hmm. what happens, right? At this point, Navalny has started, he's very popular on YouTube.
Very popular.
Very popular. Has gotten very good at rallying people together. He has rallies where people are yelling, you know, against Putin. And he has this wife named Yulia. Mm-hmm. I got it right. And at some point, Navalny says, I thought it was pretty safe because I was getting famous. Mm-hmm. So I felt like Putin can't really do anything to me because everybody would know because I'm yeah. you know, recognizable. And then at some point, Navalny's office was raided and a green toxic liquid was thrown in his face. That was so alarming. It wasn't was that weird to
horrifying.
Watch?
I can't even imagine.
And it was all on camera.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how terrifying because he didn't even know what was thrown onto his face. And he said, I thought, oh, I'm going to be disfigured for the rest yeah. of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Navalny's a pretty good looking guy.
Don't spill the beans.
But he was okay. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I don't know, we never really found out what the liquid was.
No, it looked like, it was green, right? It looked like that from that Nickelodeon show.
Oh, like slime?
Yeah.
It looked like slime. It looked like brake fluid. Is brake fluid green?
Yeah, or maybe. Something fluid that goes in the car.
That you don't really want on your face.
On your face, yeah.
So he goes to, Navalny goes to shoot a video in Siberia to talk about local corruption. And when he gets there, he thinks that there's going to be a lot of police. There's going to be a lot of hubbub because everywhere he goes now, there are a lot of people, a lot of police. And nobody was there. Mm-hmm. And he felt like that's kind of strange, but okay. Mm-hmm. And then he gets on a plane. And what's amazing about it all is people were always filming him on their phones. Uh-huh. So the passengers hear him like moaning and
an intense moan,
crying out in agony.
Yeah.
And somebody like captured that on their phone. Mm-hmm. The plane makes an emergency landing and he's raced to the hospital.
Yeah.
Then they call Yulia. Uh-huh. She runs to the hospital and they're not letting her in to see him.
I can't imagine. I was just I would have ripped my own head off if Stephanie had been poisoned and I was.
But, and by the way, didn't you love her? Because she was you had these big guys, these big armed.
She's a badass.
She is. These huge Russian soldiers saying, no, you're not going in there. And she's like, I am going in there. Uh-huh. That's my husband. And they're like, mm-hmm. You are not going in there. You know, and she's, looking at the camera going, are you getting this? They're not letting me see him because they poisoned him and they don't want anyone to know. Right. And
the doctors were involved
The doctor came out and said, this was not poison. We don't know what it was.
Right. His business can't be blowing up at this point, that doctor. I mean, your credibility. I mean, talk about losing trust.
Well, especially when they say somebody. One of the rumors was that it was from Navalny drinking moonshine. Which, by the way, isn't moonshine just like made in Tennessee? Like in somebody,
you can make that anywhere.
But moonshine in Russia? Is that even a thing?
It sounds like it must be if that's their go-to of like, this is clearly moonshine. it must be enough of a thing where somebody thinks of it, says it, and the rest of the group nods. Yep.
But do you think
probably moonshine?
Do you think moonshine in Russia is different from moonshine like in Georgia? Because I've had moonshine in Georgia and it's like, yeah, it's strong, but it doesn't, you're not going to foam at the mouth from drinking moonshine.
Well, of course.
Well, but why would they say?
I don't know why. There's no way to know, Cheryl, but you can make moonshine anywhere. You don't have to be in Kentucky. Mm. You think you can't, if you cross the border to Ohio?
Well, it doesn't seem like it would be called moonshine. Like, if somebody said to me, if I went to a party and somebody was like, hey, I made some moonshine. Do you want to try it? I'll be like, you made moonshine in LA? I don't think so.
Well, I know Mississippi isn't surprising to be a moonshine spot, but my cousin is an attorney down there, and he's had clients that have paid him in moonshine. He's also gotten donkeys and pickup trucks.
Oh my God. I would love to try that with my entertainment attorney. Hey, I'm not going to pay you in dollars, but I have a lot of moonshine that I'm sending
to
your
office. Here's a chicken.
How about
a rooster?
Three chickens.
You just tie a donkey.
Oh my God.
To his doorknob. Keep the change. Keep the change.
Oh no.
We have to take a break.
Oh God. Okay. Okay.
We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Thank you. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, we're back. Here's the other story I wanted to tell you about Moscow. Well, it's not even another story. I haven't told you one story about Moscow. I mean, I'm telling you this story about Navalny. But this is neither here nor there.
That's what the show should be called. Neither here nor there. Neither here nor there with Tig and Cheryl.
Have you ever been to Russia? Have you ever... Neither
I have
that
not.
Actually is a good title. Neither here nor there.
Oh, that's your travel show, Thomas says.
Oh. Are we going to travel together?
I think so. I mean, especially after you get involved once Fafa happens.
Oh my god. Okay, so I went to
What if we had a news show?
Oh my
god. You. What if we had a news show?
I think that would be amazing. I think that would be amazing. Where it's like
breaking news. We go to Tig and Cheryl.
And it's like, you guys, before we tell you what the news is, I just want to tell you what happened at the gas station. I stopped for gas on the way over here.
End of story.
And then we cut to commercial. Okay, so I went to Moscow. This is when I was previously married to Paul.
My old manager.
We were going there for a wedding, and this couple decided that they wanted to have a paintball game with friends and relatives, you know, like the day before the wedding for fun, which sounds fine. Although, have you ever done paintball? It's slightly terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, you wear a jumpsuit and goggles. Oh. Yeah.
Oh. I've done that in an action movie.
Well, this is more serious than an action movie. So, and then they gave you a paintball gun, right? So it all sounded fine at the beginning. But then we divide into teams and we're in this forest in Russia, and they're yelling out stuff in Russian. Well, I have no idea what anybody's saying. I don't even know what team I'm on.
You can barely speak English.
I don't know what is happening.
Yeah.
And I am terrified. So Paul and I are hiding behind this log, like not talking.
Good move.
Like you don't want to talk. You don't want to talk because they'll know where you are.
They'll find you. No, I know how it works.
They'll find you.
Yeah.
So my plan was to stay behind the log until people start walking out of the forest. Because if you get up, you're going to be shot. And I wasn't in the mood to get shot. And by the way, I mean, they can leave welts, these paintball.
Okay.
So I'm behind the log.
Keep going. Yeah. I'm not going to interrupt. I want to hear the end of this story so the snorkels are not upset with me. Let's hear this story.
So Paul is giving me signals like he's going to rise up out of the log just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
To see if the game is over or what is happening. He like rises up behind the log, just his eyes And he gets shot between the eyes in the goggle with the paint palette. And the paint is like covers his goggles. And we found out that the other team, there was like an ex-KGB guy. It's like, oh my God, these guys are like shooting people between the eyes with paint palette.
What was Paul's reaction when he got shot?
You know, it took him aback. Although it was really funny because we were like, what is it happening?
What are we doing?
We were laughing so hard. We were laughing so hard, but at the same time, it was terrifying because I'm like, I am never leaving this log. Mm. Like, why would you ever get...
But I see you have left the log.
I just waited. I can't tell you how long I waited behind. I mean, because at that point, then Paul, Paul's been made shot. So he has to surrender.
Go on. We can't cut the story off now.
Listen, that's all I remember. I guess I just waited. I really waited until somebody came and got me because it was, I'm not walking out. So I guess I had to, I guess our team surrendered because I would never leave my spot. Anyway, the point is, be careful when you play paintball in Moscow. They take
it all ties into the gift of fear as well.
Yes.
Your story.
I was listening to my fear and it said, stay behind the log. Because the ex-KGB will shoot you between the eyes. I mean, that's such a bold, it's a really bold move. It seems like it's also against the rules of paintball, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't think you're allowed to shoot someone in the face. Okay.
I really don't know.
Okay. So anyway, listen, back to...
We could take time to Google it.
There's no way to know. Okay. Back to Navalny. Okay, this is a serious subject, Tig.
Yes.
Quit treating it as if it's not. So at some point, because Yulia is so insistent of getting him out of that friggin' hospital, they're stalling for time. She knows it. Everybody knows it. They don't want to let him out because if he has been poisoned, they want it out of his system so nobody can, nobody will be able to tell. So he goes, they finally get him out. They take him to, tell me if this is, didn't they take him to Germany?
Yes.
Okay.
Went and got decent
help.
Attention. Yeah.
Help. Yes. And they basically said, yes, it was poison.
You mean it wasn't moonshine? What if he went to Germany and they were like, did you have moonshine?
Did you have famous Russian moonshine? Sir, did somebody give you moonshine?
Were you drunk on moonshine, son?
Oh, my God. So he finally recovers. Which is shocking.
Yeah.
That he could even recover from this.
Right.
And he meets up with Christo Grozev. Okay. Who's an independent investigative group, Bellingcat. Right? Is Christo is the one that's that's helping him try to figure out what happened. And he says, you were poisoned with Novichok. Hope I'm saying all this right. And then they find out that that is the poison that Putin makes in Russia, specifically to poison people with, specifically because you can't.
It disappears.
It disappears. And it's also his signature move.
Can you imagine?
Having
a signature move of poisoning people?
It is.
How toxic is your existence?
I mean, literally. It's like, whoa, signature move. It's like, that's your signature move? I mean, and they were all like Navalny. Listen, Navalny's a badass. Mm-hmm. He's not scared of anything.
Right.
He couldn't believe that he actually poisoned him with
his signature move.
With his signature move. He's like, that's ridiculous.
Well, Navalny's signature move is to just move on.
Brush it off. He did not seem that upset.
Well, he strikes me as somebody who, I mean, he's seems to be fighting for good, but he seems like somebody who is in the game.
Oh, he's in the game.
You know what I mean?
He is like,
he is.
I don't care what happens. I'm going down with the ship.
He's there to play.
I'm not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you find out during this that he, you know, his family talked about politics a lot because they lived relatively close to Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. So when Chernobyl was happening, his parents were, you know, outraged, of course. And that was part of what he would hear in his house and how awful it was and how awful the leadership was that mm-hmm. this could be happening. And that, you know, Russia denied that there was anything wrong. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it gets sort of crazy because...
Now it gets crazy?
Now Maria Pevshik.
Say again?
Maria Pevshik. I'll say that.
Maria, if you're listening, could you call in to let us know if that
was
Maria,
the correct
Hey, Maria.
Now she's also getting involved in the investigation, and they narrow it down to this small group of men mm-hmm. who are Putin's assassins.
I always think it's interesting because assassination is killing a famous person.
Right. Or political figure.
Yeah, it's like if you killed me, you wouldn't, well, I'm kind of well known, so I'd probably be assassinated.
But I guess that's the question. Does it only have to do with politics?
Well, no, because John Lennon was assassinated.
But he also was relatively involved.
He was involved in politics.
Yeah. I mean, relatively, right? He was, you know.
But like if you killed Thomas.
Right. Would people
nobody,
say, whoa,
well, I don't know if anyone would talk about it other than his family and friends, you know?
And it's so sad.
I know, but it's true.
It wouldn't.
And so it
wouldn't
would
leave
sure
the news that he was assassinated.
No, that Thomas was assassinated. Thomas, you're very loved.
Yes.
It's just,
that
I don't think
be
it'd
the
be
header.
Like, no.
No, it might, it would be some,
it might be local man was shot.
Local man. Oh, Thomas. Poor Thomas is like, why am I being dragged into this? Well, what's interesting is, so now they have this little group of people. I shouldn't say little group of people. That sounds like...
It's condescending.
Condescending. And I don't, certainly not, don't mean it. But they figured it out that it's got to be this short list of guys. And Navalny starts making prank calls to the list of Russian assassins.
Yeah.
And this is all on video and audio. They're recording it.
You know, back in the olden days, like in the 1800s, did mm-hmm. people say things like, you know, and he started doing this and that. And look, there's sketches of this. We have sketches.
We see. You know. From the town hall, we saw.
Yeah, we looked at the sketches. It clearly happened.
Let's put into evidence sketch number one.
Well, do you have any sketches of it happening? Yes, I do. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
He's right here.
That does look exactly like him.
Yeah.
That is you. That is you.
I think it did happen.
So Navalny gets through to a scientist named Konstantin. Konstantin? Anyway. And he's homesick with COVID.
The seaman.
The seaman. And Navalny is acting like he's his superior. Mm-hmm. And he's asking him what went wrong. Why didn't Navalny die? Mm-hmm. Where was the breakdown? And basically, Konstantin said, you know, they tried to poison him through his underwear. specifically putting poison in the crotch area.
I didn't know that could happen.
That you could poison someone through
their crotch.
It did seem weird. Like, why the crotch? You know what I mean? Because why not, like, something close to the heart or... I don't know. But also, did they figure out that it had to be somebody in the hotel that went in and put it on his clothes, right?
I guess. I just, you know, like... I learned something new. I just didn't know that you could be like, oh my gosh, my crotch is poison. I've been...
Poisonous underwear? It's so odd.
Yeah.
And then at the hospital, and the scientist is saying all of this and saying, you know, they tried to clean, they cleaned all of his clothes and they tried to get rid of everything, all of the evidence. They were trying to wait till the poison was out of his system before they released him. So he basically admitted to all of it. And then Navalny and the group decide to release. I mean, it's so serious. Can you imagine releasing that information in those calls?
That's what I mean, is he is in it.
God. So he did. He released it online and got 7.7 million views in the first 7 hours. And they were drinking champagne and they were...
Moonshine.
And they were celebrating because he accomplished what they set out to accomplish. They exposed Putin and...
And still.
And still. So at some point, he decides to go back to Russia, which was like, I don't know. It's so sad. It's like, don't go back.
Yeah.
But he does go back and he's arrested as soon as he lands. And he, you know, he's got these two kids who are great.
Such a great family. Oh,
God, and his wife is great. And he basically knows when he's getting on the plane to go back to Russia, he knows that what's waiting for him.
Yeah.
And just got on the plane, like, this is what you do. He's going down fighting.
I can't imagine.
I can't either. When they get to the airport, there's tons of people, thousands and thousands of people, and people are being arrested just for being there, just for, you know, cheering for him,
supporting him.
And Navalny's team releases an exposé on Putin that was viewed over 100 million times. And then Navalny's arrest inspired widespread protests across Russia. And then Konstantin, the scientist, has been missing ever since they released the call. And then you see there's like one little clip of Alexei coming into a courtroom. And you see Yulia, and he draws a little heart on the glass for her. Oh, she was pretty strong. I don't know if my... husband did that, I would be like a wreck.
Yeah.
But she's a strong, and I guess, I mean, she knows that he's like, this is his mission in life and he's doing it and he's sacrificing for people.
The greater good.
And now he faces up to 20 years in prison. And then you see at the end, I didn't even know that was him at the end. I thought it was a prison guard.
But
you
really?
Yeah. You see him at the end. His face, you know, when he's in his, you know, prison
jumpsuit,
and it's outfit, just it's so sad.
Yeah. And do we know how long he'll be in there?
Oh,
I mean, up to 20 years, but I mean,
right? He so he was probably what, like in his early 40s when he went in or something. So
Thomas looks like he's Googling. Thomas.
Oh, he was 46. God. So, listen, 20 years. I don't know. So that is the story of Navalny. It's heavy.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. So, are you ready for some final thoughts, Tig?
I am.
Okay. It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I didn't. Did you?
I know. I didn't cry either, but okay. I mean, I think we're both going to say this. Who are you attracted to?
It's not Putin.
It is. No. I mean, Navalny is pretty handsome. He's so handsome.
Yeah.
And when he's sitting there, like, the lighting is so good when he's...
All right.
Okay. All right. Anyway, the point is, he's a very handsome man.
He is. He has that chin. My mother was very into chins like that.
Mm. He is a very... It was like more than just a... What do they call it? A cleft chin?
Something like that.
Cleft chin? Is that a thing? I think so. But his was even more... It was like...
Yeah.
Kicked up a notch. You know what I mean?
Do you know what my mother told me when I was little? Hmm. And we were not... Our house was not... I mean, my mother was religious, but... We weren't that fan. Like, I don't know if anybody mentioned God or Jesus or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes there were church outings, but it was not that vibe in our house. But I remember her telling me once that you see this little area below your nose?
Yeah.
In the middle of your lip?
Yeah, you have the little tube.
That it's from an angel putting their finger right there. To shush you, to not say what heaven looks like, and the people that have that cleft chin are the ones that went before the angel
shush was over,
and it made an indention. Something about something on the chin means the devil within.
Oh, okay. Just so I'm clear, was this on the day you're born?
Before down from the heavens.
Is that how people
that little area is from the angel's finger?
Well, they do right call there. It the Cupid. They call it Cupid's bow.
Okay, then yeah.
Don't tell anyone what heaven looks like. And then you start to leave, and the angel.
And
pokes
angel
you
makes
in the
that
chin.
Mark in the chin, and that's the devil within, is what my mother told me.
Oh my God. I like that. Everything else about religion did not matter, but it's like, Tig, come here. I've got to tell you something really important.
Well, she would point those people out, and she'd be like, that means the devil within, meaning that in a good way.
Like that they're
up to, and I was thinking about that while I was watching. I was like, whoa. Mm. And the devil within is it just means
that they're willing to.
There's life in there, you know.
So it's not a bad thing. It's like
it's not a bad thing.
It's like a cheeky, like
I know what's who's happening. This person. There's a lot going on with this person.
Oh my God. So when you were little, did you believe it? Were you like, oh
no? But I was just like, I mean, probably when I was maybe four or something.
You were like, oh, the angel.
Wow.
Like an angel with wings is like, by the way, I guess they do have, do they have fingers is what I was thinking. Okay.
No, this is not a religious podcast.
This is not the time.
Yeah.
We're not
gonna the time to convert.
We're not going to explore angels and their anatomy right now.
And
we're
their phalanges. Yeah.
Planned. Okay, that's all for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be talking about the alpinist or alpinist. Tig, do you know how to say it? Let's say alpinist.
Say whatever you want.
Okay, I'm going to say the alpinist on Netflix. Before we go, would you like to hear some true fan mail?
Yes.
Okay. Lorian writes, hey, Lorian.
Hey, Lorian. Hey.
Yesterday, I was delivering a webinar to about 200 people over Zoom. At one point, I forgot a particular product name, got flustered, and blurted out, there's no way to know. Immediately, a few of the attendees gasped and started laughing. I know you cannot really make eye contact over Zoom, but I swear we all gave each other a knowing nod. I tried to recover. At least I didn't say Shakers Please Hold or hum a Kenny G song.
But why not at that point?
Oh, I love that she's just like, there's no way to know. Whilst nothing can really replace You Bet Your Sweet Ass I Am, this was a delightful way to spot snark bulls out in the wild. Seriously, though, this past year has been a really tough one for me, and your podcast has been the absolute best. Hearing your friendship, laughter, bunion talk, and honesty is a balm for the soul. Thank you, Lori N.
Oh, Lori
that
N.
That is nice. Thank you, Lori N. Listen, you guys, we'd love to hear your reviews. We would love for you to follow us on social media.
Yeah, review us. Review us.
We might read you.
Unless it's negative. Who is that one person that wrote that negative thing in the beginning?
Dog, something dog.
Laughing dog. Yeah, laughing who's dog. Laughing now, dog? Who's laughing now, dog?
Who was like, this show is not about documentaries at all. Laughing dog.
Laughing dog came back.
Laughing dog is listening. Hey, laughing dog. Hey.
Hey, laughing dog. Hey.
Anything to promote?
Well, Thursday, June 9th, I am on a new stand-up special on Netflix called Stand Out. And I'm with Wanda Sykes and Sandra Bernhardt, Eddie Izzard, a lot of great LGBTQ comedians. And then also go to tignotaro.com for my tour dates, including July 23rd in San Diego. Come on out to that. That's going to be a fun show. It's an outdoor amphitheater right by the water. So,
okay.
Yeah. And my other podcast, Don't Ask Tig. Check that out.
Okay.
What about you, Cheryl?
Oh, Tig. You know, the usual. You guys, you can watch stuff on HBO, Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Flight Attendant.
Yeah, just basically turn on HBO and you'll see Cheryl's mug.
All right.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.